So I think this was a great experience just to be able to connect on a person-to-person level, sit down, share a meal, get to know each other. So I think that was probably my favorite part about this and why I was a little nervous coming here, honestly, initially.
Why?
Just again, the unknown. I didn't want to be the only person kind of standing out, like it was just me.
Because I wanted to dispel some misperceptions I had about your religion.
Okay.
I wanted to better understand, you know, your religion. And so I noticed in this folder, there's a lot of, it's...
Okay, Islam is not a faith of extremism.
Right.
Yes.
And people take this out of context, this verse in the Quran.
Right.
Oh, and yes. I wanted just to for you to explain a little bit about the history of that. And,
yes.
And where, what is the meaning behind that?
Sure. So this is chapter 2, verse number 191. So this passage came because Muhammad, peace be upon him, he preached for 13 long years in Mecca. Nicely, peacefully preaching, but despite that, some idol worshippers, they started to cause verbal and physical harm to him and tortured many Muslims, killed many Muslims, and eventually they kicked out the Muslims. So in that context, this passage came, right? But before this passage, there is a passage that says that fight in the cause of God for those who are fighting against you. Means if anyone is imposing war on you, then God is saying that you have the God-given right to pick up arms and defend yourselves. So in the context of the war, in the context of what Muslims were going through, this passage came to defend themselves. Yes.
So it's a historical context.
There's a historical context, and every passage of the Quran has to be read in that context. Mm-hmm. Or else if you take them out of context, it may give the wrong meaning or the opposite meaning. So it's really important that we have to read some passages before and after. And we also have to look at the historical context, that why that came, what was going on in the society, what was the situation of the Muslims, right, dealing with the non-Muslims up there. So then that's how we can properly understand that passage.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
So what's your overall experience over here? What,
this was very good. I've learned a lot. I had questions about the hijab and the women praying. I didn't realize that they were praying upstairs too.
Yeah, so. They are. If you have a chance, you can go upstairs if you want. Yeah.
And I, you know, I had a lot of questions about women in Islam. And
what other question you may have?
Well, when they're praying, do they bow like the men do down here?
They pray exactly the same way. Yeah, they can watch from there, but they're also listening anyway. So they do exactly the same actions, motions, and the recitation. Yes. The only thing is just a separation.
Okay. I think that was it. I'm going to read some of these materials, and I really appreciate you having the open house. Thank you.
Sure, welcome. And they also have a try a hijab booth somewhere?
Yes, it's outside.
Outside, you know, you can try the hijab and feel, you know, how Mary, the mother of Jesus, and the Catholic nuns, how do they feel, especially Mary, the mother of Jesus, when they have the hijab on?
I was raised a Catholic, so
okay.
The nuns were all covered.
Right.
So again, thanks for coming. And the main reason we are here is to educate yourself and others that Islam is a faith of peace, worshipping the Creator, doing good deeds. That's the way to go to paradise. So that's the ultimate worldview that we need to have. And we hope and pray that the gift bag that we gave you, it has enough spiritual goodies, right,
yes,
to keep you going. And if you have any questions, give us a call.
I will.
You can contact the masjid. This brother is knowledgeable. We have the imam here. We have other people. And you can call the telephone number and read the Quran. Again, may God guide and bless you for coming here.
Thank you.
Back again with your family again.
And may God bless you too. Allah bless you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
I just want to say thank you. I want to say thank you for taking my question back. I also thank you for that. That's it.
Yeah.
Great job today. Very good.
Sure. So what was your experience? What else did you learn from
here? It was spectacular. I picked up it's all exposed and new to me. You know, if I've ever met a Muslim before, I wasn't aware of it, you know. And so I met up my friend who invited me here today, and I'm really grateful about that. And so I'm going to investigate, and thank you.
You know, one quick comment I did not mention in that in the answer is that we take Jesus to be as a mighty prophet, right? According to the Bible also, he mentioned that he's a prophet of God. Are you aware of that?
Yes, I am. Jesus, in our belief system and in the Christianity, is that and he prayed to his Father. You know, so it's three separate persons. Mm-hmm. And the God is God the Father is the Godhead. Mm-hmm. And Jesus in the Holy Spirit. So it's the three.
Right, but he was
a
prophet.
Jesus acknowledged, yes. And of course, Jesus was born of a virgin, and he lived a sinless, perfect life. He's the only one that's ever been able to live a perfect, sinless life without, in thought, word, and deed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he was the perfect lamb that paid our sin debt. So that's what our belief system is. But
so we say that even according to the Bible, he mentioned himself as a prophet, right? In Matthew chapter 13, verse 57, yeah. He mentioned that. Mark chapter 6, 4, you know, John 4, 44, right. Luke 13, 33.
Are you saying that him saying he's a prophet,
yes,
takes away from him being the Son of God?
Well, there is only one place that I know that he said, I'm a Son of God. In John chapter 10, verse number 34 to 36. However, we need to know, what's your name?
Thornburg.
Okay.
BJ Thornburg.
Okay, BJ. Okay. So, BJ is okay?
Bill Jr. Yeah.
Okay, Bill Jr. Okay, Bill. So, Bill, it's important for us. The concept of Son of God is a metaphorical concept. Because in the Old Testament...
Right, I understand that.
Yeah.
And actually, I read that in your...
Yes.
I don't disagree with that.
Yes.
I'm not saying anything different from that.
Yes.
It's just that Jesus was actually with God from the creation, from the very beginning of time.
Mm-hmm.
The very beginning. And then he sent him here to be born as a man.
Who sent him here?
So God the Father sent Jesus here, and Jesus was 100% man, and he was 100% God at the same time.
Oh.
Don't ask me how. You'd have to talk to the Father about that one.
Because, you know, it's important. When I converse with the Muslims, especially the youth, I mention to them, just to keep them strong in Islam, that for any person or any entity who we take to be as God, that entity has to fulfill certain criteria, right?
And I read that in your pamphlet.
You
also
did, right? So one of the criteria is that that entity has to be all-knowing. Yes. So that entity has to be all-knowing. But when we look at Jesus, peace be upon him, it says in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13, verse number 32, when people asked him the question that when is the last day going to be, Jesus, he mentioned that of that day and of that hour, no one knows it. No humans, no angel, neither
only the
Son.
Only the Father knows.
Exactly, exactly. So if Jesus is not all-knowing, he cannot be God, right? So it's important for us that when people asked him, how do we worship and who do we worship? He did not say that I am God, worship me. He pointed to God, saying in Matthew chapter 6, verse number 9, that's where the Lord's Prayer is. If he were God, he would say, you know what, I am God, worship me. Nobody did.
No, we worship God the Father through Jesus Christ as our Savior. And if Jesus had a limitation that he doesn't know the hour, mm-hmm. Jesus doesn't know the hour.
Yes.
He also had limitations as a man in a man's body. You know, he had limitations that we could see. But here's a man also who could walk on water. So he could defy the laws of gravity. Right? So
he can do miracles.
So
he can do miracles.
And in
right?
fact, that was probably some of the biggest challenges I had with Christianity was some of the, you know, putting the mud in the spitting and putting the eyes and healing. Somebody's been blind and now they can see. And I had a hard time with the claims of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And then I finally, it came to me, I was like, well, do I believe that God, who created everything, absolutely everything, could he, if he wanted, he created gravity. Could he have somebody defy the laws of gravity if he wanted to?
Yes.
And I quickly answered that, yes, I believe he can. Then why am I having such a hard time believing that he did? And that helped me in my growth.
Sure. So what we say, what the Quran says, even the Bible says this, I will quote you, is that just because a person is doing miracles does not mean that that person is divine or the person is God. Because Moses did miracles. Even Paul did miracles, right, in the New Testament. James did miracles. And Jesus said that even false prophets will come who would do mighty miracles, you know, more than what Jesus was doing. Doing miracles is not a criteria for that person to be divine. Because Jesus himself said in John chapter 5, verse number 30, that I of myself, I cannot do anything. Whatever I hear, I judge. My judgment is true because I seek not my own will, but the will of God who sent me. Even in Luke, Jesus said, chapter 11, verse number 20, that by the finger of God, I'm casting out the demons. So Jesus' miracles are not coming from him, they're coming from God, right?
And then does the Muslim faith believe that Jesus lived a sinless life with no sin, thought, word, or deed?
Yes, but not limiting only to Jesus. We say that all the prophets in the prophetic mission, they were all innocent and sinless. So we don't just limit that criteria only to Jesus. We say Muhammad, peace be upon him, and Moses and Abraham, despite what the Bible says, so we believe that Bible was changed later on. When the Bible gives all of these major sins to prophets of the past, them committing incest and adultery and idol worship, we say, no, that's wrong, because all the prophets, they were role models to humanity. Because why would I believe in a person who's claiming to be a prophet when he's described as doing adultery, right? I would say that maybe I'm better than that person who's claiming to be a prophet. So prophets are sinless. They don't commit any mistake in the prophetic role. So in that way, Jesus is important, but everyone else is important. So what the Quran does...
All the prophets are sinless?
Yes.
So like Moses never murdered anybody? And
no. When he had that interaction with that person, it was not with the intention, because he was trying to protect someone. He had the right intention and he intervened. In that intervention, somebody got killed, right? So it is not that, you know, Moses is out there to kill that person with bad intention. That did not happen. So what the Quran does is, Quran also has stories of different prophets. And when you read the Quran, you'll be so amazed that the Quran takes away all the heinous things that the Bible attributes, incest and adultery and idol worship. And Quran purifies the prophets, saying that they were role models. They were the best of all the people. They were the messengers. We should follow them, and we have to believe in their message.
Well, I'm really looking forward to reading it. Thank you for
read it
so much.
May God guide. May God bless.
Monopolize.
Okay, yes, yes. So thanks for coming. Come back again. It will be an honor to meet you and converse with you. So may God guide Sabil.
Sabil. Okay.
Yes.
Well, All right, thank you. I ran into somebody else I know here earlier. She works at Whole Foods.
Okay.
And Balama.
Okay.
Okay. Right,
take care. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you again for...
Come over here, yes. Right. Yeah, I would like to just get your stand over here. Would like to just get your experience, how you felt coming to our mosque.
Oh, sure. So I've never been in a mosque before. I was raised Catholic, so spent plenty of time in churches and things along those lines. But I know what you'd mentioned before, the whole anxiety or just like the fear of the unknown and things like that. So I think this is a great experience just to be able to connect on a person-to-person level, sit down, share a meal, get to know each other. So I think that was probably my favorite part about this and why I was a little nervous coming here, honestly, initially.
Why?
Just again, the unknown. I didn't want to be the only person kind of standing out, like it was just me.
So you thought that you would be the only person standing, sitting in the 100 chairs.
I wanted to be part of the crowd, I guess, but this was an excellent showing, I think.
Yes.
So I think that was nice, too. And then there were plenty of the Muslim brethren here to help us out, which is really great.
Is like one thing that you like learned over here that you may be thinking, never knew about that?
I wasn't real familiar with, say, the basics of the faith. I had heard about the five pillars, but hearing just you explain a little more in depth about some of that.
Yes. So those people who are not here, who may be hesitant and they stayed home and they did not benefit from this open house and clearing the misconception, what would you say, what message would you have for them?
I mean, it's okay. Was it the whole idea of like travel, getting to know people, knowledge kind of bridges that gap between ignorance, and then you can really gain that much more from each other that way.
What can be one misconception that you think was cleared?
One misconception? Ooh, that's a tough question. I think like the allusions to the media and kind of negative depictions, but it's true for probably a number of different folks of different faiths, especially depending on what time you go in history. You had mentioned that in your talk as well. So unfortunately, it seems like a lot of Muslims are negatively depicted in the media, but that is a small sect of a much larger group of folks, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yes. And the main lesson is that do not get our worldview from the media, because Islam is the most misrepresented faith, especially in the media, by the way. So that's the reason we are here as brothers, sisters, to make sure that we get to know each other and our non-Muslims will get to know what Islam is, so they can at least do away with those perceptions that they may have and look at Muslims and Islam from a different angle, right? And hopefully appreciate who God is and God's guidance, right? come back again, we will have more open houses, hopefully. And you can also come in some other times. Come with your family, your friends. May God guide and bless you, brother.
Appreciate that. Thank you again.
Take care. Bye-bye.